very mysterious din of Achsanoi. It's a very confusing din, and there's a lot to try to figure out. So we'll try to at least lay out some of the questions today, if we don't necessarily finish it today. But it's a very brief sugi in the Gemara. It leaves us a lot to wonder about, and the Rishonim on the Daf don't even have very much to say about it. There's no Tosfos about it. It seems like it's as if it's such a simple thing, and yet there's a lot to try to figure out. So what does the Gemara tell us? First, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, Achsanoi Chayiv Ben Achanaka. Okay, so somebody who is a guest somewhere is still Chayiv in Hanukkah candles, presumably under the circumstances we're about to read about. So Amar Rav Zeira, either supplementing or maybe disagreeing with what we just read, Amar Rav Zeira, Mereish, Ki Havina Be'rav, Mishtatfa Be'prite, Be'hadi Yushpize. When I was a student learning in the yeshiva, and I used to stay over at people's houses, so what would I do? I would be mishtateif peprutah. I would somehow join in with that person by giving them a pruta. Basud in a siviyisasa, after I got married, Amina, I would say, the hashta vade leitzrichna, the kab madliki alai begav b'yisai. Now I don't have to do this anymore, because they're lighting for me at home. So, one question to keep in mind is Rav Zeira supplementing, which is what it sounds like, la halacha. It sounds like he's explaining the din. Right? That Achsanoi is chayiv. And what does that mean that he's chayiv? It means that he has to participate with the pruta. That's what it sounds like it means. We'll have to see if there is some kind of disagreement here. And then Rav Zeira then would be adding that, but this is assuming it's a single person who doesn't have a wife lighting at home. If he does have a wife lighting at home, so then he is in fulfillment that way. So what would you say, and if you saw, this seems to be a machlokas harishonim, what's the main chiddush of this din of Achsanoi? When the Gemara says this line, Amar Rav Sheshes, Achsanoi chayiv ben Achanaka, what's the main chiddush there? What would you have thought, and what's the chiddush coming to tell you? Jonathan?
Could have thought that there's a chova on the bias, and since the bias is covered by the Baal bias, so then since you're staying there, you should also be covered.
Okay, so you see, you could have been going a couple ways with that until you finish the sentence. Because you see, different Rishonim say differently. So the way you ended it off, who says like that?
The Rush.
The Rush, right? The Rush basically says that, and the Torah follows that path. That the Chiddush is, you are not included in the household of the Baal HaBayis. Unless, in Mishtatef Peprutim, apparently. That until you do this profit participation or this payment participation, so you're not included. And you could have thought otherwise. You could have thought that you'd be Yotze with that household, and that's the Chiddush. What's the other direction you could have come from, and where maybe I thought that sentence could have been going? What's the other possible Chiddush here? It's the way the Ran reads it. What does the Ran say? We saw this Ran before also, because it was part of an earlier sugya, the discussion of Chovas Habayis. That the Ran said that maybe you could have thought that this is a Chovas Habayis, that lighting candles is a Chovas Habayis, and somebody who is dislocated at the moment, who is separated from his household, is therefore exempt. You could say, okay, somebody who's traveling should be off the hook. Kamash will know that you're still Chayiv. And here's how you do it. So that's already something to try to keep in mind. What exactly is the whole Chiddush of the Sugya telling us that despite what you could have thought, Achsanoi is chayiv, even though he's not in his household, or coming from the other direction, that you would have thought he's automatically considered to be part of the household of where he's staying, and that's not necessarily the case until he does something to formalize that relationship. What do you think about what the Ran's saying then? When the Ran poses the question, you may recall, we talked about this at some length, the whole question, well, moderate length, the whole question of whether Neiros Chanukah should be viewed as a Chovas Habayis. So what's the Ran's conclusion then in this sentence? Is the Ran saying that it's not a Chovas Habayis? Or is he saying something else? Anyone want to take a shot at that? I don't know if there's a clear answer, but I think it's worth noting that there seems to be some ambiguity. What else could the Ran be saying? He could be saying that this is a Chovas Habayis, but we don't let you off the hook so easy.
There's some combination of Chovas Habayis and Chovas Agavra, is that?
Yeah, right. And we saw that there were achronim who said that. Maybe there's two. Maybe there's two chiyuvim that are going on here. And while it's true, there is a major focus on the bias, but not in such a way that's going to let you off the hook. If you're off, if you saw the Ran, it's very short, but in these fancy Gemaras, so it messes up the pages. But the Ran should be Yudim et Aleph in the earlier Gemaras, but Dapeh Harif. But the Ran's line, a very short passage where he says, Ireach afal pi she'emo bayis, even though he doesn't have a house, delo tema dinner chanukah kedim mezuzah, the chomi she'emo bayis patim in a mezuzah. You might think, okay, I don't have a house, I don't have a mezuzah, so too out of the house, I don't have nair chanukah. So apparently that's not true. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean that it's not true? So it's a little bit open what it means. Does it mean to say that the whole Chovas Habayis theory is not accepted by the Ran at all? It's a Havamina, but it's not one that makes it Lahalacha? Or is he saying that there is a truth to the idea that it's a Chovas Habayis, but at the same time, we also impose a personal obligation, and if you are without a house, so then you have the personal obligation without the bias obligation. And perhaps this also connects, we saw Chovas HaBayis, and we talked about that, so there's also a question that was raised, that should we say that Chovas HaBayis means that it's like tzitzis or like mezuzah, that if you don't have a four-cornered garment or if you don't have a house, you're exempt? Or should we say that really there is a chiyuv on everybody, but you need a house in order to do it? And if that's the case, maybe that puts more of a responsibility on you to somehow connect to a house. That we don't just say, all right, you don't have a house, you're off the hook. But maybe we should say that then you have a responsibility to take some kind of a connection to a house, and maybe that's what this halacha is about. So it sounds like what's going to happen here, and this is a little bit of a machlokas achronim, as we'll discuss, but it sounds like what happens here is that the achsanoi pays the host, and therefore he doesn't like the menorah himself at all. So if that's the case, so what happened to Mahadrim and a Mahadrim? Why shouldn't he light for himself as far as Mahadrim is concerned? Now there's some room to say maybe there is such a case, but many assume not that way. And I think, if I remember correctly, I wanted to check this, but I didn't have time this morning, that I think Rav Shechter relates that Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of this din is that the Achsanoi does not have an option of lighting on his own. That his only way of fulfilling this is through joining in with the Pruta, with the host, and he doesn't light on his own. I did look in the notes they published from Rav Shechter, from the Rav, on the Sogya, and he doesn't say much about this, but he does say one thing which seems to be consistent with that. That he says, what happens to the Din Mahadrim? Why don't we have a recommendation that everyone should light on their own anyway, as if they were a child in somebody's household? And in that brief section at the half of the Rav there, so what he says is he thinks this might be a raya, this position may be a little bit of a proof against the Ramah. That essentially, with our two opinions of what Mahadrin L'Kol Echad Yachad means, that the Rambam's idea that it means everyone should, the Baal HaBayis should light on his own per household member is okay, so the question doesn't really come up. We don't really have such a notion of individual non-Baal HaBayis lighting. The whole notion only comes up according to the Ramah, right, that everyone should light on their own and choose to adopt the Chiyuv as a personal one and do it themselves. So since that seems to be missing here, so I think that's what he's getting at, and thinks that maybe this is a little bit of a proof against the understanding of the Ramah, more like the Rambam, and presumably what Tosis would say also if you were doing Mahadrim by itself, that it's really a din in the Baal HaBayis lighting candles, and the whole notion of individuals deciding on their own that they will light on their own maybe doesn't have so much support, perhaps. So what exactly is accomplished by giving a pruta? What are we trying to do with that? What is that doing for us? Jonathan?
If you donate money to it, so part of your monetary investment went to you lighting the mitzvah, and therefore you have a chelek in the mitzvah.
You bought a mitzvah?
You bought into a mitzvah.
Bought into a mitzvah. How much does a mitzvah cost nowadays? How do you... Yeah. It's a good investment. I mean, that's actually a good Torah Mada Systems project that we should set up a hedge fund. Right, that you can invest in mitzvahs. It's a little bit of an ephemeral concept, right? Shmuel, you want to comment on
that? When you're giving the pruta, are you buying the... This is a question we came out with Sarah. Are you buying the menorah, or are you partially buying the house? If you're partially buying the house, and if it's your house now, so now you're part of the mitzvah of that menorah.
Yeah, I think that's a very good suffix. I think that's essentially one of the core sfeikas of this issue. What exactly is this proof accomplishing? Are you buying something? And if you're buying something, what are you buying? A mitzvah, a menorah, or a house? Now, presumably menorah, just to be very precise, menorah is not really the candidate, but probably the shemen and psilos, right? Maybe both. The shemen and the psilos, maybe the oil and the wicks, or the house.
Could you be buying the right to be yotzei through somebody else? Situation.
But that's also kind of an ephemeral concept. Not sure what that means.
Well, meaning like, obviously they own it, they're going to light it anyways, but their concept of me being able to buy a right into it is existent. That's possibly what Kedushin is, right? She's selling the rights to herself. You're selling someone the right to be able to.
That's what it means, the Kedushin is selling rights?
Maybe. I heard
I'll be a Kiddush. Presumably, I think Kinyan Kedushin is something else. It's a solidification of relationship that's done through the mechanism of a Kinyan. Whether or not there's a concept of selling rights is interesting. And it doesn't seem like we have that any other time when you're motzi somebody in a mitzvah. He gets to pay the chazan because he gets a salary. But the idea that everyone's paying him to be yotze with him.
Yeah, just as a mindset thing.
I don't think we have such a concept. It would be interesting if it was invented here. And the notion of selling that or if it working that way doesn't seem to have precedent. Well, it's an interesting idea. It's hard to imagine that's really what's going on here. Jonathan?
I mean, you probably don't see too much in the halachic form, but there's always an idea if you give, like, tzedakah to something, to, let's say, I don't know, to a kollel or mikveh, you sort of have a chelek in their mitzvahs. Isn't that sort of the same type of idea here, maybe?
It's interesting to draw from here to there. See, what it presumably means in that context is that you're enabling those things to happen. Right? So since you're enabling those things to happen, so therefore you have a chelek, because it wouldn't happen without you. So anybody who plays a crucial role in a mitzvah taking place is if he does it. So either you're the one who actually does it, or you enable it by funding it.
So here, is that what's
going on? It's a mechudish, the kind of understanding, that basically is saying that the Baal HaBas needs you in order to light the menorah, and now you're funding it.
He doesn't need you, but you're, day to day, it's your 50 cents or a dollar a quarter that's end up buying 25 cents worth of oil.
So saying, even though he would have had it without you, because if he didn't stay there that night, presumably he would have still lit the menorah, and he would have lit the same menorah. But money is fungible, so we could now reallocate the 50 cents he spent there and put it towards his tuition. So now he's able to send his kids to YU. You're now credited with enabling the menorah. It's also a machodesh understanding. I think that we have a couple of possibilities. Those understandings, they're interesting. They're not really supported, I think, by the makoros. What's interesting is also that Shmuley Safek is one that I think is very real, and one that you find both studim here. But really, the Rishonim kind of push you in one direction. Like the Rishonim kind of indicate that what are you buying? What do you see most likely from the Rishonim?
The shemen.
The shemen, right? You do find that language in the Rishonim that they talk about buying the oil and the psilos. And that's what you find most in the earlier sources, even though there is room to think maybe it's something else. So, for example, this comes up as another rhyme that's important, if you got a chance to see. Right, where's the other rhyme? In Pesachim, on Daf Zayin, where the Gemara talks about what Nusach HaBracha you should make. We talked about this also in the Chovas Abayi Sugya, about whether you should make a bracha of Lahadlik or Al Hadlakas Ner. And there, the Rishonim understand Ner Chanukah, the Ramban, and the Ran understand it as something that you can't do through someone else. And that therefore you have to have your own chelek, so to speak, in the shemen in order for this mitzvah to work on your behalf. Which opens up all kinds of interesting issues. For example, there is a chakira that some of the later svarim have about whether you need a concept of lachem by Ner Chanukah. The notion of lachem is most well known and most solidly based in halacha, in the context of what mitzvah? Lulav and Esrei, right? So there the Torah clearly says, lachem, that you have to own the lulav and esrog. And in that context, we have this requirement of ownership. So esrog has to be owned. You have to have all these rules that conform to ownership in order to be otzeh for the first day of Sukkot, at least. We get to the whole matanam and asla hafsu discussions. A lulav has to, an esrog has to be something that's mutter b'achila because of related issues. So you have a requirement of lachem over there, that's beferish, and working off of that, so you have that discussion by a lot of other mitzvahs. So for example, it comes up, there's a famous ketos achoshin about this, now, there's a requirement of lachem by matzah, for example. And if there is, so is that a problem? So if you're going to eat at somebody else's seder, so if you have to own the matzah, and if so, what's required in order to own the matzah? And if that's an issue, then is that you have to make a kinyan on the matzah? If you have to make the kinyan on the matzah, is that a problem on Yantif? Is the assumption that the balabas is being machne everybody there in matzah? And if so, again, is that an issue? So there's a whole discussion along those lines. Is there a requirement of lachem by mitzvos in general that have some type of a tzad hashava? You have to figure out what the tzad hashava is, then when the question comes up. So it also comes up, for example, some explain that there is a Yerushalmi that's just going to be relevant coming up to a Shemitah year. So the Yerushalmi asks whether you can use Shemitah wine for Dalet Kosos. And some explain that the whole suffix is that maybe you have a din of Lachem by the Dalet Kosos, and therefore maybe Lachem means not only ownership, it means you should have the ability to do what you want with something. And since Shemitah produce, you're limited how you can use it. You don't have the full type of bialis that's normally the understanding in other contexts. So maybe that's not called lachem. So in general, you have a lot of discussions like this. There's the concept of lachem extended to other mitzvahs. So should we say there's a din of lachem by Ner Chanukah? Is that what this Gemara is telling us, maybe? Not so obvious that it is, but there is a discussion along those lines, including in the Mekroi Kodesh of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, where he raises the question that, he raises the suggestion, he says that perhaps there is a notion of ownership when it comes to Ner Chanukah, and actually not just ownership in general, but specifically the way it's talked about here, joint ownership, a shutfus. Why should that be? No one want to take a guess? Because dumya to the menorah, right? The nace that happened to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So who owns the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? We do, right? It's a communal property. That's a property of Klal Yisrael, which was done through hishtatfus bepruti. Everyone donates to machzor shekel, as we discussed yesterday in a different context. Everyone discusses to the Truma Salishka, and all of the items, the Beis HaMikdash is bought there. So maybe, therefore, we match the concept of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. We have joint ownership in the menorah there. So too, we have to own our candles, or at least partially own it. And that's what Hishtatfus Vapruta is talking about here. So that's an interesting idea. Some point out that it seems to be, again, something else. That the Mordechai is quoted, the view of the Mordechai is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. If you saw this, it was Mamar Makom Asasa in Reish Shamach Gimel. That's, where is that in Shulchan Aruch? What section is that? Hilchos Shabbos, right? What section of what issue within Hilchos Shabbos? Neiros. That there the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in, that you essentially apply this concept of Achsinoi to Neir Shabbos as well. That if you have somebody who is a visitor at somebody else's house, and he doesn't have Madlikat Olav Bebeiso, he doesn't have anybody at home lighting Shabbos candles for him. So therefore, it's another not obvious area of comparison, but Shulchan Aruch mentions both those points, that if you have somebody lighting at home, that's one thing, but if you don't have somebody lighting at home, and you're an Arech at somebody's house, so then you have to be Mishtatif Bepruta. So there, I guess you could assume that it's a similar concept, and whatever works there has to work here. So that's not Dumya de Menorah. That's it doesn't have that same basis. So you have to figure out exactly what's going on here. There was a major discussion in the Achronim, it's really in the Rishonim, and the Bir Halacha quotes this as a suffix without fully telling you all the Rishonim who already talked about this. But do we extend the concept of Pruta? Is it only by an Achsinai? But what if you have, let's say, two roommates, and they want to light one menorah, maybe specifically because they want to light al Pesach HaBayis, and there's only room for one by the Pesach HaBayis. So can one of the roommates light the Pesach HaBayis and the other one give him a pruta? What do you think about that? Yes, sir?
I mean, both of them have the same... Both of them is their bias, so in theory, I guess one could be Yotze just with the other one, because it's sort of... I mean, they're two guys, but Neri Shabeso.
So you have to figure that out, because maybe Neri Shabeso means when you have a balabas, it's his mitzvah, and everybody who's tofel to him, everybody who's part of his chevra, they can be considered Yotze. But when you have two people with equal claim to Bailos HaBayis, maybe not. So there's a little bit of machlokus about this, even though in some of the earlier you showed him, you saw... Yeah, that's what we normally assume, that balabayis means that you have to be tofel to the head of the household, even though... That's what it would seem like. It would seem like it's not necessarily... The normal Neri Shabeso doesn't necessarily include roommates. Although, as we did point out previously, it doesn't have to be only biological family members. You could have a scenario, which we discussed, and we'll come back to this point, where let's say, for example, in a yeshiva setting where people could all be considered tofel to the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach, or whoever is the dominant personality living there, that there could be a definition of B'nei HaBayis, which is not biological in nature, but it doesn't necessarily extend to two people with equal claim to being balabas. Maybe it's other types of scenarios where you have a head of the household and others who are dependent on him, others who are included within his group, but if you have two equal roommates, maybe not. So there was somewhat of a machlokus about this, about whether or not this is an option. And the way it's generally understood is that it somehow depends on this whole question, that should we say that essentially putting a pruta in gives you a chelek in this candle, and therefore now everyone has it, which could be, you know, which again, you know, is supportable based on the Rishonim, and maybe does have what to be said for it, right? Especially because once you have a participation, once you're a partner in the business, so maybe a partner in the business is whatever percentage you are, you're a partner. So we don't have to necessarily be 50-50 partners, because the question could equally be asked, it's a fair suffix, what if you have two roommates who split the cost 50-50, that they together buy a menorah, buy, again, that's not the focus, but they buy the shemen, the psilis, they buy everything that's necessary for the halakhic neiros, they really split it 50-50, they really own it. So is it necessary that they have to have their own? Is there such a concept you can't do it b'shutfus? It's an interesting question by itself. Maybe there is such a concept. Maybe we don't allow mitzvahs b'shutfus in general unless there is a raya that you get. And it's kind of an unresolved question just in general. Should we say more than this ishtarfus b'prut? But if there's really 50-50 partnership, maybe that should work if you really share complete identical ownership with somebody else. So in any event, this is a suffix which could relate to the question of does this pruta allow you a buy-in to the whole mitzvah? Or maybe the pruta is finishing the process of making you a household member. And therefore, in the case of Achsunai, you're halfway there to a family member, or a household member we'll call it, you're halfway there to being a household member, and you need a buy-in to complete the process. So with your pruta, and the fact that you're visiting by this family, you're a family member. But maybe that's a chiddush, it only works by your being a guest of someone else, and shouldn't necessarily extend to the notion of shared roommates. Although again, you could argue that maybe all the more so it should work there, because you're already a balabas. If you're a balabas, and he's a balabas, and there's a man over there, and you own part of it, so maybe that should work. So there's a lot to be nostalgic about that. So what some have suggested, that there are those, Shlomo Zalman Arbach among them, and Rabbi Bleich among them, we mentioned this Chov Sabayis discussion, that Rabbi Bleich's now not most recent sefer, B'Nesivus HaLacha Chelik Dalud, so he discusses the Chov Sabayis question, and he addresses a question that Achronim have in general about how this Hishtatfus works. that if we say that it's about buying the shemen, so then we have a technical problem. That you can't buy an object like oil, you can't buy metalton by giving money. We have a discussion in the Gemara in the fourth parak about Metziah, we saw this last year, that we assume that mos enam konos, that you do not acquire possession of an item by giving money. Now it's machlokas in the Gemara, where that's a din min haTorah, machlokas in the Mishnah, whether that's a din min haTorah or a din midrabanan. I should have put this maybe on the Marmar Komos. This is a Mishnah for the beginning of the fourth parak of Bava Metzia. So should we say that, according to one opinion, that most Einam Konos already Dvar Torah, that min haTorah money is not an effective way of acquiring property. And according to the other opinion, which is probably the dominant opinion, Mahalacha, most Konos Dvar Torah, that min haTorah, that would be a valid kinyan, that if you gave money for something, you would take ownership of it. But Chazal made a takana, that we were afraid that if, let's say, I want to buy some potatoes, and this guy has the bags of potatoes in his basement. So I give him the money for the potatoes, now it's mine, Moe's Konos, let's say. So then we're worried that tomorrow morning I'm going to come pick it up, and the guy's going to say, oh, so sorry, Nisrafu chitecha ba'aliyah, Nisrafu potatotecha ba'aliyah, that your potatoes, I had them stored in the attic, and there was a fire in the attic, and Nebuch, you lose, because since you already acquired them, and you acquired them while they were still on the seller's property, the seller didn't take care of them because he didn't care about it, because all the loss is on your end now, so you lose out. Which the Gemara goes on to explain that he wouldn't be justified, of course, in being mazik, this property, purposely, because it's yours. And that's not fair. That would still be his chiyuv al tzedakah. The assumption is that there really was a fire or something, but it had it been his property, then he would have really pushed to save his stuff. He would have been careful with it. But because he doesn't have the burden anymore, he sold it to you, so then he doesn't feel any great motivation to protect it, so we don't want that, so we make a din d'rabbanan that mos einam konos, that just the fact you handed over the money is not enough for you to acquire title over something, because the seller will not be motivated to protect it. So far, so good? So therefore, the svarim will ask, so mos einam konos, so that how are you going to acquire oil through giving money? If you give somebody a pruta, it's not going to give you any actual ownership in the oil. So some say, well, maybe makom mitzvah, lo hamidu devrayhem, that maybe since it's there's a mitzvah purpose here, so Chazal didn't insist on the takana, they allowed it to work even without being more formal in the process. So that could be. But there are those who suggest, like Rav Shlomo Zalman has in his Chuvis, in the Chelik Gimel of Menchei Shlomo, Siman Nun Gimel, and Rabbi Bleich has this theory as well, that the whole point of Hishtadfus Mefruta, along the lines of Shmuley Safek, is that it's not about the Shemen, it's about the household. And real estate, you can acquire with Mos. So essentially, you're becoming a part of the household through this monetary contribution, and therefore the bias now is yours as well, and you are able to be yotze that way. So again, it's not so supported by the Rishonim, because the Rishonim seem to lean towards Shemen. The ones who identify something do talk about Shemen, but on the other hand, it does answer a lot of problems, and it does fit in with some other ideas, that perhaps that's the idea, this is a way of taking part in the bias, and there's chanukah kavanas bias, and you don't have a mos konos problem, so it does perhaps fit a lot of things, even though it's a little bit more difficult to fit into the Rishonim, and it requires somewhat deviating from that which is actually there. Shmuley?
Could you take this
No problem.
Can you take the idea of Achsinai and
No problem.
And possibly apply it to like a whole apartment or dorm building. Since everyone's technically, maybe it's more than a pruta, but like you're being everyone's shutuff in like the apartment buildings, can one person, like the baal of the apartment building or dorm room, light and everyone be yosei for him?
So that seems to be related to the question about the roommates, right? It's probably a similar kind of thing. So it's interesting, you really need to sharpen the definition of why it's an issue. So it seems that we're lacking on the other end of the equation, that normally we have a problem, or within the sukkah we have a problem, that you're not b'nei habayis. So you need to be mishtatif in order to be b'nei habayis. But it seems to be two halves of the equation, that you need to be b'nei habayis, and also the hadlaka has to be shayach to you. So if you have people who are ready to b'nei habayis, so then already you would think that that should be enough. So apparently you need two paths to the equation, right, which really requires us to really focus a little more sharply on what's going on here. That on the one hand, we need to establish you as somewhat of a resident, and then once we establish you as somebody who's qualified to light here, that also that the lighting works on your behalf. So the truth is that you have to figure out if everything we've said so far is really adequate to explain that. That maybe it's already the fact that you're a guest in the house that makes you a household member, and the pruta makes the lighting shayach to you. That actually works better with the Rishonim, really. That you could say that you really are taka buying into the oil, and you already are a balabas because you're there, but you're not enough of a balabas that he could light on your behalf unless you have some type of buying. So maybe you need to be more formal a balabas. But again, the question still becomes, why shouldn't we say a similar logic when it comes to roommates? I guess we have to somehow account for both halves of the equation that you're going to be a part of it. So we'll just mention one or two more points, then we'll have to say a little bit more about this on Wednesday. But it is two points that we've mentioned before in other contexts, but we'll re-emphasize them both in this context. Is one is there is a view that some Achronim have. We mentioned the other day from the Baruch Tam, and others far have this as well, that the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses could serve the same function. That even though we say one is not yotze in shul, that means that you still have to go home and light in your bias. But let's say somebody doesn't have that, Sener doesn't have a bias to light in, so there is a chovas hagavra, perhaps, and that the shul could fulfill that chovas hagavra the same way this din of achsonai could fulfill it. So that also kind of puts the focus in a certain direction. We'll have to clarify that a little bit more. And also there is a major discussion, a Svarim quote from the Sefer Gan HaMelech, that the whole notion, this also kind of sharpens something, the question of maybe Achsonai is only relevant to somebody who's paying for the lodging, and he's paying for the lodging in a very specifically accounted way. He pays for everything. So they charge him for all the food he eats and for all the towels he uses or whatever it is. So then they'll charge him for the oil of the Hanukkah menorah as well. But somebody who's not under such an arrangement, let's say he's paying just to be there but not for any specific expenses that the host exerts on his behalf, so then doesn't even have a requirement of being mishtatef bepruti. So that's the way it was brought in the name of the Gan HaMelech, and some later sfarim said that can't be. It's not, if that were the case, then the latest forum should clarify that because it's such a major distinction. But we did mention that in Babaji Yosef, in his Shuvas, when he talked about lighting in the yeshivas, that he did favor such an idea. He did accept this notion that maybe you don't even have a halacha of pruti under those circumstances where everyone's a part of the yeshiva and they're not paying per detail, usually. They're paying just to be there in the broader sense. So then that perhaps is not even the halacha of achsonai. What's also interesting, and this is something to think about a little bit more before we continue this, so just you'll think about this during the Seder, also in between now and then. So it is also, we said already, the suffix about what's the chiddush here, is the chiddush that the achsonai is not yotzei to the balabas, otherwise the fact that it's chayiv in the first place. There's also a difference in emphasis in terms of what's the best way to do things. That in the tour in the Shulchan Aruch, they start off saying Achsonai is Chayiv in their Chanukah. The Rambam's formulation comes out kind of backwards. Right? So the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Aleph, he says Areach Shemadlikin Olav B'Soch Beso Eino Tzarech L'Hadlik Olav V'Macham Shenis Areach Bo. The Ikar is that the best case scenario is that your wife's lighting for you. That's where we start off the day. Then the lighting, you're okay. So again, he used the word shemen, again, consistent with those Rishonim who emphasize that. and that he really comes at it from a kind of backwards direction, that this is secondary to having your household lighting take place, and that's where the emphasis is. So is there a different thrust here in terms of what the halacha of Achsanoi is? That's another thing to think about when we continue with this topic. And they've also pointed out that there might be a difference in nuance in terms of the halacha of Chshad that's relevant here. So do you notice a difference that the Rif, I think I put on the list, one of the rare places where the Rif adds something into the Gemara that's not there. Well, this is actually cool. In this Gemara, they bold that? That's awesome. I never noticed that before. Okay, in these fancy Gemaras, it seems as if in the Rif, they bold the part that's not in the Gemara. That's what it looks like. That's terrific. Anyway, so...
And then with the Rush also, where the
end,
yeah? The above
that's
entrance.
Awesome.
It wasn't in the Gemara, so I don't understand why they did it, though.
Okay, I don't know, but it's very cool. So, if you look on the Rif in this fancy Gemara, which is on Chazayin and Aleph in this fancy Gemara, which used to be in Daf Yudam and Aleph, so here, on this Amud, there's two lines, actually. Yeah, that's so cool. That's very useful. Okay, but it's bolded. So the part that's bolded in the middle, right after it tells you the Din of Achsanoi, the quotes from the Gemara, that part we have from the Gemara. But then the words that are not in the Gemara are bolded here. V'hani nile v'shtatufi v'priti hecha d'loi pasach bavlo nafsheh. Assuming he doesn't have a gate of his own. If he doesn't have his own doorway, so then, okay, m'shtatif v'priti, and he's done. Avali pasach bavlo nafsheh m'chayiv v'avluke m'shim chashodah. But if he has his own door, so then he's got to light by his own door because we're concerned about Chshad. Okay? So the Rif introduces this idea of a Chshad concern for somebody who has his own door. The Rambam has this halach a little differently. Now how does the Rambam have it? In the end of the same halach we saw a second ago, Yud Aleph, he says, "Hayilo bayis bifnei atzmo." In other words, because of Chshad. So there is some discussion. The Rambam is emphasizing that a chiddush in the halacha of madlikin olav bebeiso, that if the person has somebody lighting at home, it says still there's a din of Chshad if people can identify a door connected to you. And the Rif's point of the door is that the Achsanoi is chayev in chshad consideration. So what's the Rambam's position about the achsanoi? Right, he doesn't really address the exact case that the Rif discusses. Both of them are adding it to the Gemara. But in the case the Rif said, where you have an achsanoi, where you have your own door, so does the Rambam require you to light in that gate because of chshad? Right, but over in Hebrew, he's the case he talked about is Madlikin Olav Bebeiso. Right, that somebody has a household lighting for him, but he's elsewhere, and they can identify where he is, so then he has a concern of over. But he doesn't mention the Rif's case, which is the Achsanoi. He's being yotzei that way. So there are those who assume, I don't know if this is necessarily mukhrach from the Rambam, but there are those who assume that the Rambam means that if you are an Achsanoi and have your own door, then for sure you're chayim. That's not even a chshad. That maybe Chovus Abayis, according to him, means a door is already a bias. So if you have a door, even in somebody else's residence, that's already your bias, then for sure you're chayav. But the din of chshad, that would only be if you're really potter, like, for example, you have a household somewhere else where your wife is lighting on your behalf. So that may also all tie into a question of what the thrust here, what the chiddush is. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll just say a few more words about this on Wednesday to try to put it all in perspective. And then again, marathon as we try to get through some other sugyas as well. Okay, so again, thank you to Ephraim tomorrow for Chazar Shir. Normal Shir time over here. And.